And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is our good friend, Pastor Bill Shishko. And Pastor Bill, welcome.
It's great to be back with you, Dan.
We have a really interesting subject for today, and it's concerning what some people call burnout. Pastor, you've seen it. I've seen it. We know of a lot of younger families that are working extremely hard and sometimes more than one job. They're of the conviction, which I share, of a larger family. And also homeschooling or private Christian school. But they're doing their very level best to raise godly children. And, Bill, at times it can be absolutely exhausting for these families. And so that's just a little bit of a lead into the whole subject of burnout. And you've seen it, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure you have seen it as a pastor and probably counseled many. So take it away, Pastor Bill Shishko.
Thanks so much, Dan. Yeah, I am deeply concerned about this subject of burnout. Just yesterday, I was speaking with a young minister who has not been in the ministry for more than a year. And almost the first comment was, "Bill, I am exhausted."
Yeah.
I thought, oh my, this is a young man. So yeah, I'm concerned for frankly anyone that listens. I'm particularly concerned for ministers as one who is a minister and ministers to ministers. I'm concerned for parents. And especially, I know we're approaching the Lord's Day called Mother's Day. I'm concerned for mom. The statistics, and I don't want to spend a lot of time with it. You could read these, but burnout in 2025, this is connected with jobs, but as we'll mention, moms have probably the hardest jobs. 66% burnout rate in 2025. And it comes down to, I'm a pastor, so you alliterate, it really comes down to work. 24% are stressed because they have more work to complete than time to do it. That number is very low, I think. 24%. You got work, worry. 20% cite a poor economy that's impacting their well-being at work. There's worry in there, and just too much work to do due to the labor shortage in their industry. So there's work, there's worry, but there's also weariness.
Right.
We're going to deal with that a little bit later, the importance of sleep. So, yeah, I am deeply concerned about this. One of the things, Dan, that I ask myself is why. I've been around in the pastorate now for, 46 years, 47 years? And I've noticed, especially in the past 20 years, the incidences of burnout are so much higher, and the reasons that we're in the internet age since the late 1990s, and I use a phrase, a big word, the ubiquity of communication. Ubiquity is everywhere. Something is everywhere, and communication is ubiquitous. You can't pump gas without having advertisements come or something like that. You're in the checkout lines at the supermarkets, and you've got recipes and so on. And, of course, these are all designed to get you to buy things. But that ubiquity of communication is not healthy. Then cell phones. The constant pull of the alerts, the notices, the text, the responses to text, the book that came out a year or so ago, scrolling ourselves to death is really not far from reality. Then you've got social media, which I call anti-social media, which takes time away for the most meaningless things, and just the pulls and the pressures of more and more things. The appeals for funds, the appeals from political candidates, the world calls for your service now. The world, you think of all the things anywhere in the world, not just in your locality, that you can do, and people with sensitive consciences want to be of help. The old Broadway play, I think from the 1950s, stop the world, I want to get off. And if that was true 75 years ago, how much more true is it now?
Right.
And we're not going to deal with this today. It probably would warrant, I think, a separate program. But I am especially concerned with what I'm reading about the Alpha generation, those born beginning in 2010 up to the present, and how mental illness, even leading to suicide,
yes,
is affecting young people. See how this is a huge topic, and the issue is staggering. And of course, you ask what to do, and I'm a pastor, and you're right. I deal with this a lot. I deal with it with my own family, and so I'm going to take a pastoral approach. And Dan, please interrupt with your questions. You know, I can just keep going with things here, but I cannot overstate the importance of all listeners having a biblical, a definitely Christian framework for life. Why? Well, quite frankly, apart from Christ and apart from knowing Him as your Savior and your Lord and living and moving and having your being in God, people are dealing with the ultimate meaninglessness of stuff. And you couple that with our bent to things that are seen. Man looks on the outward appearance, and we're warned about covetousness. Why? We focus on things that we see, and that is absolutely relentless. And you bring that with social media and the comparisons with one person and another, and you have a horrible, horrible formula for what we commonly called burnout. It used to be called a nervous breakdown, and the two are connected. But a definitely Christian framework. And for that, for all of your listeners, I cannot overstate the framework of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All of 2 Corinthians deals with strength made perfect in our weakness. And of course, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Corinth was the place of the Olympic Games. It was the place that epitomized what we see today in our athletic culture. Everyone's got to be physically fit. You got to watch out for your weight and all of that. So especially 2 Corinthians, Paul is making a challenge. It's a deep challenge to that kind of culture that focuses on self in that way. And also Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4, we're called to set our affections on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That does not mean that we're not useful in this world. The line that's used, some people can be so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And I bet people like that.
Oh, yeah.
But the point here is, stop looking to the things of the earth for your standards. You are with Christ, and you derive your strength from Him. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and with that, this is to all of your listeners. I call you to really have Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Mm. Christ as your Lord means that the world is not your Lord. The world does not call your shots. I love the statement from the early church, because the Christians knew that Jesus was Lord, and the line is, because Christ is Lord, Caesar isn't, and that means the state is not, and also the world is not. So is Lord, and you must have Him as your Lord, and your Savior. Now, what does Savior mean? We throw this word around, that's Christ's renewing work. He will save His people from their sins. And there's a lot of sin that's involved in the things that can bring us to burnout. I'm not saying you're a worse sinner because you have burnout. That's not it.
No.
But there are things that tempt us that are contrary to the will of God. And you look to Christ as your Savior to renew you in the work of essentially giving you strength. And coupled with that, the beautiful, beautiful promises in Matthew 11:28-30. This is just all on some biblical framework. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your listeners would profit greatly from Dane Ortlund's book, Gentle and Lowly, which is about the heart of Christ for sinners and sufferers, or saints and sufferers, but Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. That will help a lot. But that's that's kind of, and I'll just add this, that I've, you could do a whole program just on this. Carl Truman in his works has emphasized this. We're dealing in our culture with the idolatry of self. And I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting this, because we're going to deal with self-care. There's a legitimate self-care that is not an idolatry of self. But our culture's trinity is me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
And when people give themselves to that trinity, God destroys idols.
Hmm.
And if you want the big picture here, this is what we're seeing, the destruction of the idolatry of self. I won't go any further with that, but that to me, as a pastor and as a theologian, is fascinating. But that brings us, Dan, and I know this is where all of your listeners are, to some specifics. And please, here again, feel free to interrupt me. I'm going to give some specifics, especially for moms. And here, I'm going to give some warnings about the internet. But all you have to do is just Google in, or whatever your DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use it is. But just Google in burnout and remedies, and you'll get a lot of very helpful things, at least from primarily the world's perspective. But I want to give you some distinctively Christian approaches to these things.
Good.
I begin with 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There is no, the word is really test that's there. Temptation is a test, but there's no test that has overtaken you. You kind of fall flat on your face in the middle of it. But such as is common to man, not just Christians, but common to man. And there's where Google searches about burnout and so on can be helpful, to let you realize you're not alone with these things.
No.
But for the Christian, but God is faithful. And he will not permit you to be tested beyond what you're able, but he will, with the test, make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We're always going to have pressures. We're always going to have stresses in life. In fact, frankly, some stress is good. We wouldn't function the way we should if we didn't have stress,
right,
even in this fallen world. But that you might be able to endure it means we're going to face it. You're going to face these challenges. So be honest about that. The idea that somehow we can cocoon ourselves away from all stresses is ridiculous. I mean, people say, well, we're going to move out in the country so we can get away from the stresses of life. But believe me, you'll have your stresses there as well.
Absolutely.
You just have to learn how to deal with them. But anyway, some specifics. Please plan your schedules. One of our lines in the home, and I know the Bible says it says God directs our steps. I know that. But Proverbs says not only the mind of a man plans his way, but the heart of a man plans his way.
Hmm.
And that's why having our hearts right with God is so important, or we are going to get drowned very quickly with all these things out there. And one of our lines is, if you're not making your own schedule, everyone else is making it for you.
Oh, boy, that is so true.
Isn't that true, Dale? Well, you know that in your work, which is incessant. I mean, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. And for Christians who want to serve others, you'll very, very quickly get inundated. And husbands and wives together, or if you're a single parent doing this, but please, I beg you, plan your schedule and have margins. There was actually a book that came out, I don't know, 30 years ago called Margins, which is excellent. And it uses the illustration of pages in a book. If you have a page in a book and it's 10-point font and there's no margins in it, you're exhausted by the time you get done one page.
So true.
And, Yeah, isn't it true? And really, you'll read better and you'll read more profitably if the font is larger and you have more space between the lines and you even have white space in the paragraph. So learn that lesson from the pages of books.
You remind me of something, and that is when Jesus was here on earth, there were times where he would say, "Let us come aside and rest for a while." And exactly. And that was a margin. And I believe, Pastor Bill, that when we set up a margin, we should not feel guilty about setting up the margin. Because some of us are programmed, I know my family is, that you got to put out that work. You got to work, work, work. And then when you're all done, you got to work some more. And that's the way our mentality is. Well, the problem is there's no margins, and that will exactly. That will affect you physically.
Yeah, but great minds think alike, Dan. That was my next point. Don't be backward about me times. We're not talking about the idolatry yes. itself. But when the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, there is a legitimate self-love, we call it self-care, in which you give yourself for your own good. And yeah, my text, I love it, Luke 5 and verse 16. Mark that in your Bibles, Luke 5 and verse 16. I don't like the word retreat. That's for another day.
Yes.
But Jesus was regularly withdrawing himself, and of course he had his disciples draw aside as well. This is the God-man,
yeah.
And if he was regularly withdrawing himself from the people, even when needs pressed in on him, well, if he had to do that, we're not God. But see, here again, the idolatry of self, we'll think we are. And yeah, your point, Dan, is exactly right. Our generation, the boomer generation in particular, you work, you work, you work, you work. Well, you start applying that in a culture that's pulling at you more than the culture pulled on us
yeah.
in the 50s and the 60s, and you got problems.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't be backward about me times. The other, sleep. One of our favorite verses is Psalm 127 and verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early. Now, there's a place for getting up early, but the point is you get up early so you can work harder again, or stay up late eating the bread of sorrows. And, you know, at the end of the day, we can do that. We can waste a lot of time mulling over things that are not helpful. For so he gives his beloved sleep.
Amen.
Get rest, please. It's a gift of God, and it's kind of the triad here. Not only sleep, but exercise. Paul doesn't say bodily exercise doesn't profit at all. He says it profits little. Godliness is more profitable, but it does profit.
Yeah.
And you can read, scientists can explain this better, doctors can than I can, but the endorphins that are built up and all, you know, these things that come just by a 20-minute walk, God has programmed us that way, that we need to get exercise. And, of course, that's a big change in our culture, too. We don't work as much as we used to, at least get exercise
mm-hmm.
the way we did.
Yeah.
So the triad of sleep, exercise, and diet. The Bible, it speaks of take a little wine for your stomach and for your frequent infirmities. And being careful with your diet, again, that's different with each person. Don't make a god of your diet.
Mm-mm.
Be careful what you eat. The junk that people will eat does not help them at all with this. And the example that's used so often, and it's a good one, it means more than this, but at least this means Elijah's a fascinating figure. I try to think of what it was like when Elijah had Ahab on his case, and he had Ahab's wife Jezebel on his case. He has to be about the judicial execution of the Baal worshipers and leaders. Whoa, I mean, that takes a tremendous toll on you. And if you read 1 Kings 19, God causes Elijah to have a strategic withdrawal, and he feeds him and he gives him rest, and it's for a while.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good example to use, 1 Kings chapter 19, and connected with that, and this is part of strategic withdrawal, quiet times. The antidote to being destroyed for worshiping the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I is be still and know that God is God. Mm. Psalm 77, and here our translations don't really help us a lot. The first nine verses, I tell people, first nine verses, the psalmist has an eye problem. You kept my eyelids open. I was so disconsolate I could not sleep. Have you clean forgotten your mercies to me? I think there's like 20 references to himself in those nine verses. But Psalm 77 in verse 10 literally reads, years of the right hand of the Most High. What does he mean by that? Well, in the Hebrew way of speaking, which can compress a lot into a phrase, basically what he's saying is, wait a minute, the problem's with me. It's not with God. God has not changed. And then he turns, and it's interesting how he reflects a little bit upon himself, and then he stops that, and he just focuses on the way the Lord led his people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, and he weds the language of the flood that covered the world and the deliverance of the Israelites through the Red Sea. He weaves that language together to say essentially, regardless of the cataclysms that might come to you or that you face, God leads you like a flock. And I've got to add this, Dan, and I always want to be careful to say this because I don't have authority to bind people's consciences where the Word of God does not, but there's certain conventional wisdom. Turn off your phones when you have your personal quiet times or devotions, your family quiet times and devotions, your time to talk with your wife. Turn that thing off because it interrupts. And one of my lines is, we'd have family worship with the kids and the phone would ring, and this was not pre-cell phone, but early stages of it. And I'd say, wow, the Lord has all authority in heaven and on earth, but I think he's given some authority over the phone system to the devil because interrupt it. Turn the thing off. You don't need it on.
No, people you don't.
People can leave a voicemail. So there's that.
Well, today we're talking with Pastor Bill Shishko. And, Bill, I'm looking at the clock, and I realize, talking about time, we've got 2 or 3 minutes left. It's gone really quick. Our subject today is burnout. And so, Bill, any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners before we have to turn the switch off?
Wow, this time I've got so much more in this, Dan, especially for moms. Don't say I don't work. A wife, mother, grandmother, you have the busiest of callings.
Take
these things that I mentioned and make applications to yourself. When your children nap, you rest. Do enjoyable things. There's a difference between recreation, and amusement. Amusement, you don't think. And I would say, and again, just challenge people to think. In my opinion, get rid of the tube. You don't need all of that drawing you in. You can get your news from other places. For homeschooler parents, delegate tasks in your home. Your children should be doing some work as well. And do some cooperative activities with other moms. Share the wealth of the gifts that people have. You don't have to do all of it yourself. Remember, if you sink, everyone else will sink with you.
Oh, yeah.
But and then real quickly, because I know we've got, a minute left?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to the promises of God, folks. As your days are, so your strength shall be. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. It's in the context of battle, interestingly. Psalm 103, the Lord knows your frame, that you are but dust. Keep that in mind. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. And in confidence in God, faith in God, your strength shall be. But it's interesting the way that verse ends. But you would not. You're so busy, you stop doing that. And then the Sabbath, the Lord's Day Sabbath. Matthew Sleet's book, 24:6. Folks, it's part of the moral law that you take one day in seven for worship, which ought to be invigorating to you, invigorating, giving you vigor, giving you life, and rest. And yes, works of mercy, but plan them so you don't overdo. And necessity, the crock pot. What a gift to help us honor the Lord's Day by not doing too much work. And the last thing, and then I will, I've got a lot more, but Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34, in the context of worry, especially worry about money, Jesus says, consider the birds, consider the lilies, consider the grass. And I urge people to take grace walks. Go for a walk and see how God provides. And again, this is for Christians now, for those who trust in the Lord. Are you not of more value as one of his children than the birds, than the grass, than the flowers? So there you go, Dan. There's just some things from my pastor's heart.
Very helpful. And Pastor Bill, you're a wonderful friend and wonderful friend of the ministry, and thank you for taking your time with our listeners here today. Dear listener, if you want to contact us and get through to Pastor Bill, just use our email address here at the ministry. It is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. I'll forward your email to Pastor Bill. And Bill, stay with it. Don't give up. And we actually have a lot more to talk about, so maybe we can do another Plain Answer in the future.
I'd love to do that a little bit more. Maybe dealing with the Alpha generation. One last thing, Dan, take your vacations. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, there were a lot of feast times where the people didn't do work and they feasted, they enjoyed themselves, they celebrated. We need more of that too.
With that, you just hit me right between the eyes. Pastor Bill Shishko, our dear brother in the Lord, thank you for joining us today.
My honor.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.